Welcome to Talk Nation Radio. TalkNation.org for news and discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith. Chip Verlet of Political Research Associates in Somerville, Massachusetts, joins us this time to take a look at controversy surrounding Ann Coulter's visit to Yukon December 7, 2005.
What you have here is a strategy that has a specific angle aimed at campuses, which Ann Coulter parlayed into another round of publicity for herself and her movement.
PRA researchers have been working since 1981 to facilitate public understanding of the threat posed to human rights by oppressive and authoritarian movements and trends in the United States. And the first 50 listeners who write to PRA at pra@publiceye.org and mention that they heard about this topic today through Talk Nation Radio produced at WHUS will be able to get a free copy of their report called Deliberate Differences, Progressive and Conservative Campus Activism. The email address again is pra@publiceye.org, and that report describes the current state of campus debate and organizing by political groups on the left, right, and center. Campus administrators said they hoped the event would at least provoke debate, but initial debate centered on the fact that the original request for the money came from a college Republican and undergraduate student government senator. Since the student government group would be making the decision to bring Coulter to UConn, editors at the student newspaper, the Daily Campus, made a case of conflict of interest in the matter. However, in the end, the funds were approved. Further debate centered on Coulter's personal style of using threatening language. Coulter places a kind of verbal jackboot on anyone who disagrees with her, and then uses it to kick herself. It is George Bush's language about the war on terror, taken to extremes. And in every case, anyone standing in opposition to a policy becomes an enemy, rather than an opponent. Much of the criticism about what Ann Coulter tends to say focuses on her lack of sober, factual responses to any criticism. A month before the event, a concerned student named Eric Knudsen wrote to the paper to voice his concerns. He said, quote, "No speaker should come to this university on public dollars if they're going to make UConn students feel unsafe." Calling Coulter's statements hate speech, he pointed out her 2002 statement that, quote, "When contemplating college liberals, you really regret once again that John Walker is not getting the death penalty. We need to execute people like John Walker in order to physically intimidate liberals by making them realize that they can be killed too. Otherwise, they will turn out to be outright traitors," Coulter said. Now, when progressive student groups chose Cindy Sheehan to provide a very different view in an event scheduled to occur before Coulter's talk, an anonymous person wrote to the Daily Campus to say that while Sheehan's passion can't be called into question, her emotional and extremist nature of discourse would do absolutely nothing to foster positive, constructive intellectual debate. From here, the debate became a matter of the pro-Coulter side crying out for her free speech rights, with the anti-Coulter side calling out for attention to be paid to the kinds of things she says.
Would you like to convert these people all to Christianity?
The ones that we haven't killed, yes.
And so no one should be Muslim, they should all be Christian.
That would be a good start, yeah.
On December 8th, Bill O'Reilly had this to say to political analyst Ellis Hennekin.
Cindy Sheehan,
yep.
Spoke at University of Connecticut 2 days before.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. No right-wing crazy shouting her down. No, none of that. I submit to you, and if you go on the internet and you look at the right-wing websites and compare them to the left-wing websites, that the far left in this country, the zealots, I mean, these are zealots, are Nazis. And it's exactly what the Nazis did. They disrupted rallies. They came in to shout people down. They intimidated. They smeared. They did all of this. This college invited this woman to appear.
Right. I'm not defending the shout down.
Okay, well, you just
don't
did.
Get me. No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I defended the robust dialogue.
Look, there's a difference between robust dialogue in context to a program and what these Nazis did last night.
I'm not defending
the
suck.
They should have been arrested for disturbing the peace. That's what they should have been.
Here it should be noted that the Cindy Sheehan event came off without incident, and in fact Cindy Sheehan was warmly embraced at the UConn campus. Rather than put words in Cindy Sheehan's mouth, let's listen to her responding to the right on Bill Press's show.
Bill O'Reilly and a lot of others, Cindy, are saying you're just being used, by the far left. So just tell our listeners, who are you speaking for?
I'm speaking for my son and the millions of people in harm's way in Iraq because of the reckless and arrogant policies of this administration. And I am getting a lot of help from a lot of great organizations, and they're here to help me and support me. And, you know, maybe I'm using them.
Well, you know what?
It's amazing.
If you want to use us, you can use us anytime you want to.
Well, how about if we all work together in a coalition and in unity and solidarity for peace? And that's what it's all about. That's what I'm doing out here. It's for my son and the ones who are in harm's way. And, you know, people like Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Michelle Malkin and Matt Drudge, you know what? They don't have skin in the game. They don't have anybody over there. They don't have to have sleepless nights worrying about their loved ones. And for them to criticize what I'm doing and call me a traitor, I think that's despicable.
Cindy Sheehan, no arrests were made at the controversial Ann Coulter event December 7th at UConn, although it was a noisy evening full of surprises, as we shall hear. I played a portion of Ann Coulter talking with Bill O'Reilly December 1st for political analyst Chip Berlay.
You know, aren't liberals or far left people supposed to be champions of freedom of speech? Isn't that what the ACLU is all about?
No, of course not. They're Nazi block watchers. This is what they're good at.
They're Nazi what?
Block watchers. You know, they tattle on their parents, turn them into the Nazis. They're little Nazi watchers.
That's this is why they don't want you on CNN. You're calling them Nazis, so they don't want you. Okay. So you believe that these people want to hurt you, and now you have to have security.
Well, it's not just me. It's David Horowitz. It's Pat Buchanan. It's Bill Kristol. If you go speak at a college campus, I promise you, if you don't have a security detail, they will physically attack you because they are the party of ideas, and they're so intellectual, their ideas just can't fit on a bumper sticker. You know, everything else they're always saying about themselves. But when it actually comes time to formulate a counter-argument, all they can do is throw food.
All right. But it gets to be frightening. And look, in my own case, I have to have security. And obviously,
any conservative does.
Yeah, but I think liberals, I don't know. Look, there's no question.
No, liberal has to have security.
Well, there's no
question. I'd like to change that.
Let me just ask you this. Do you believe that these smear sites on the internet are encouraging violence against you and others?
They may be intended to. I think what mostly encourages violence is their incapacity to formulate an argument.
Now we turn to political analyst Chip Berlay for his reaction.
There are a group of people on the political right, Ann Coulter, David Horowitz, Bill O'Reilly, a bunch of others, who are really provocateurs. And their role in the right-wing social and political movement is to be confrontational, to say outrageous things. They don't do serious research. They are basically all about creating such an offense to people who are liberal or progressive that there's a backlash. And when the backlash happens, they become martyrs, and they crow about their being martyrs, and they set up whole discussions where they pat each other on the back for being brave and denounce liberals and progressives for being censors and Nazis. And it's all fictitious. It's a fraud. And the whole thing is based on a kind of self-referential reality, which is a series of cliches. And really, I mean, if you invite Ann Coulter to a campus, what do you think is going to happen? It's in the intellectual equivalent of inviting a carnival sideshow geek to a campus. And do you really expect a platonic dialogue? You invite a clown, you shouldn't complain because you don't get a ballet dancer. These are not people who carry an intellectual message about conservatism. Now, there are hundreds and hundreds of intelligent conservative intellectuals, both men and women, black and white, Hispanic, who can come to a campus, and liberals and progressives are not going to agree with them, but they're going to bring serious intellectual discourse. That's not Ann Coulter, that's not Bill O'Reilly, that's not David Horowitz. So you have to ask the student government, what were you thinking? I'll bet that there are comp sci majors at UConn who could write a program that could mimic an Ann Coulter speech simply by a random cliche generator of right-wing claims. And that it would have the same value. In fact, we should have a contest. I'll come down and judge it on April Fool's Day, you know, and then see how much of Ann Coulter's rhetoric can be replicated simply by stringing together random cliches, bashing liberals and progressives, and praising conservatives, and rewriting history. You know, the American Prospect has a whole page devoted to fact-checking some of the errors that Ann Coulter has perpetrated in the course of her appearances and her book. So, you know, I don't think chasing someone off a stage is a good idea, but it's not clear that that's what happened at UConn. And I think heckling has a fine tradition if it's creative and is simply a form of registering contempt for someone and what they have to say. There's a balance that you have to find. But you don't invite an Ann Coulter to a campus and not expect to have a circus, because she plays the role of the clown. I don't think many people who consider themselves liberal or progressive have spent time reading her book or watching her on Fox News. I imagine many liberals and progressives don't watch Fox News. So when you're confronted with her rhetoric, it can be very shocking. She says really nasty things. I mean, she is ready to compare her critics to Nazis. That's over the top. She makes claims about liberals and progressives that just aren't true. Now, do liberals and progressives make claims about conservatives that aren't true? Well, they do. But, you know, you would be hard-pressed to find a major public intellectual who's liberal or progressive who goes around with that kind of visibility, the visibility of a Coulter or an O'Reilly or Horowitz, and routinely uses vicious and nasty language to describe the opposition. Now, if you go on the web, can you find that? Absolutely true. You can find liberal and left websites, you know, calling conservatives all kinds of names. And I'm actually part of several projects urging people not to do that, because it's counterproductive and it's wrong. But there's simply no comparison between the public intellectuals on the left and who are progressive with the public figures such as Coulter and O'Reilly and Horowitz on the right, who make a career of provocation, who make a career of saying outrageous things, who make a career of shooting from the hip. You know, you look at the kinds of statements that O'Reilly makes when Ann Coulter made a mistake and told a Canadian broadcaster that Canadians had fought in the Vietnam War, and the Canadian broadcaster, who was Canadian and knew the story, said, well, no, actually they didn't, and she insisted they had, and it became a bit of a contretemps. And O'Reilly then defends Coulter and says, you know, people who oppose the conservative idea of the war against terrorism, quote-unquote, are creating the same situation that led to the, you know, the murder of millions of people. And that's outlandish to compare opposition to the Iraq War with the people who paved the road to the Holocaust, essentially. This over-the-top kind of rhetoric is intentional. It is part of a package. If you look at the way that the right wing frames reality on campus and trains campus activists who are in the Republican clubs and the conservative clubs to cast themselves in the role of the underdog, even though they're running the country, to cast themselves as martyrs, even though they have access to far more material resources to help them than their liberal and progressive counterparts do in terms of campus work. This is a strategy, and it's a strategy that has paid off very well in terms of taking a relatively small group of conservative students on campuses and highlighting them as beleaguered martyrs, fending themselves, fending off the hordes of Marxist lesbian, you know, crackpots who apparently populate the academic world. Well, A, that's idiotic to suggest. It's simply not true. Most of the studies that look at academics, when you actually look outside of the social sciences, you know, there is a balance of political ideas, and there is a history of people defending each other politically on campus. That's the whole idea of tenure, which has been misconstrued by so many conservative pundits. So what you have here is a strategy that has a specific angle aimed at campuses, which Ann Coulter parlayed into another round of publicity for herself and her movement.
She did that. I want to talk about a few more of the things that she has said, because I think it's worthwhile to do so. I did notice that quite a number of the students were really unaware of that, and for that reason thought that This was someone from another viewpoint that they were going to hear from, people on the campus from the Republican student organization that brought her, and also from the campus itself. Officials here said that they were bringing Ann Coulter to campus to provoke debate and to hear another side, let's say another political perspective from the one that they were used to hearing. But in The Nation, Eric Alterman has called attention to what he calls the lunatic ravings of Ann Coulter, and he has said that he takes issue with her when she expressed regret that Timothy McVeigh did not blow up the New York Times building, when she mused aloud whether Bill Clinton should have been impeached or murdered, and when she called for the execution of John Walker Lind, quote, in order to intimidate liberals, and said to famously now, quote, I think we ought to nuke North Korea right now. Boy, talk about a nuclear option in a human being.
Well, this is not the kind of rhetoric that leads to a serious debate on campus, and I think that's the point. Again, you know, I work in a library think tank place. I could walk 20 paces and pick up 20 books by 20 different conservative authors who have serious and substantial things to say. Now, do their ideas drive me crazy? Absolutely. I'm a progressive. Do I think they're wrong? I think they're totally wrong. But are they serious intellectuals who are conservative or libertarian or even beyond? I mean, there are some serious neo-fascist intellectuals. And you could bring them to campus and you could have a serious conversation. Don't doubt there'd be heckling, and there's nothing wrong with heckling. It's a fine British tradition imported over here, as long as you can have the discourse continue. I don't think that when you invite Ann Coulter to campus, you should expect to have a serious raising of the issues. And I have to say, forgive me, but whoever brought her to campus didn't do their homework. It would be like, you know, bringing David Duke to campus to talk about race relations. It's an absurdity. And I'm sure Ann Coulter would find that to be, you know, a ridiculous thing. But, you know, you cannot have an intellectual discussion based on the kind of vicious, nasty, cliched statements made on a regular basis by Ann Coulter, for which she has become famous.
We're talking with Chip Burleigh. Now, Chip Burleigh has offered to send the first 50 listeners of this broadcast copies of a special report. This is Deliberate Differences, Progressive and Conservative Campus Activism, a report compiled by Political Research Associates. All you have to do to receive this report free is to write to Political Research Associates and put WHUS in your email and write to them at pra@publicai.org. Let's talk about a better solution to the problems of political divisiveness in America and what kinds of things PRA advocates for people who don't want to just sit there and say, you're bad, no, you are, no, you are, but really want to have positive debate and want to understand on a higher level what's going on.
Well, we sent a researcher, Pam Chamberlain, who was the principal author on this report, which, you know, was funded in part by the Ford Foundation, because folks wanted to know, there are all of these cliches and all of these assumptions about how students who are conservative and progressive actually organize on campus, but there hadn't been any serious study. So we picked a series of colleges and did in-depth interviews on these campuses, and we discovered a number of things, which would be true for both progressive and conservative students. One is that debate is unpopular. Actual debate is unpopular on campus. Most college students did not appear to have a forum to engage in political debate, and in fact, there almost was a culture of discouraging serious, respectful political debate, and that surprised us, because, you know, colleges are supposed to be a place where that goes on. Students who we interviewed said that they had a very difficult time finding mentors who were professors, or for that matter, staff or any other workforce on the campus, that they simply had run into time and time again statements from professors saying that they were, you know, reluctant to become mentors to politically active students. And I think part of that is a reflection, and this is my guess, I think part of that is a reflection of how polarized this kind of political discussion has become on campuses. You know, there are these watchdog groups now that send students to professors' classes to monitor them, and then they get posted up on a website. David Horowitz has a whole website where everyone from Hillary Clinton and me out to Osama bin Laden is considered part of the left. It's kind of curious. We also discovered that conservative and progressive students approach their activism very differently. The conservative students seem to see themselves as a beleaguered minority. They have a kind of fortress reasoning that focuses on a need to protect themselves. And there was a set of common messages that appear on campus after campus, so that no matter what campus you go to, the conservative students are all on the same page in terms of issues and statements and ideas. But when you go to the campuses and talk to the progressive students, they don't share a common language, they don't share a set of frames, they don't share a common vision, and this results in a very different kinds of activism on campus between conservative and progressive students. Progressive students are also groomed and selected and filtered up into becoming professional movement activists, both political activists and social movement activists, in a kind of coordinated network funded by right-wing foundations. And while individual social movement groups that are progressive, whether they're labor-oriented or environmental or women's movement, help bring interns into Washington, there is no systematic grooming of progressive students on campus like there is for conservative students. There's no coordinated network of training and then bringing people after they graduate into organizations. So there's a very different approach. Those are some of the things that we found in this research that we did. But we also discovered that centrist students feel sort of left out, that the centrist students don't think the conservatives are trying to recruit them, don't think the progressives are trying to recruit them, feel pretty much like there's no discussion, and they're disappointed that there isn't more political debate on campus and feel a little bit like, you know, that you have two polarized groups on campus shouting at each other over the heads of the centrist students, and that this dynamic in general is not very healthy for an academic environment.
Chip Berlay is co-author of the book Right-Wing Populism in America, Too Close for Comfort, which was one of 12 books to receive the Gustavus Myers Award for Outstanding Scholarship on the subject of human rights and intolerance in North America. Here's what a group of UConn students had to say as they left the building, having just heard Ann Coulter speak.
I really don't think she made any valid arguments. I mean, all she was doing was criticizing liberals for being whiny babies when she herself seemed as though she was one herself.
I think the liberals should have been more respectful of the speech, though.
Yeah.
So she could have talked, actually gave a speech.
But in the beginning, she did have time to actually
say something,
but she didn't say anything valid.
When you say valid, what do you mean?
I believe it was mostly a comical act of bashing. Yeah. It was nothing productive
from the comments.
Just
personal attacks. It was nothing productive to an actual political debate. It was just bashing and insulting members of the audience. That's all it was.
That's kind of popular on Fox Network, isn't it?
Well,
it is. That's where she gets her.
Well, if she wants to be part of tabloid journalism, then that's fine. And not any.
I don't know. I just think she didn't really articulate any logical thoughts. That's what she's complained about the liberal side, but she didn't have any of her own.
There's nothing about, like, where America's heading, where it should head. It was just really bashing of current politicians, and what does that really accomplish? So.
I think the reason that she was not able to form any logical thoughts is because every two sentences she was cut off by people. I mean, a large argument from liberals and people that are Democrats is they stress free speech, and they always want free speech of the newspapers, media, but they did not give the woman her fair chance to speak, and I think that was atrocious.
I think it's ridiculous for you to sit here and say that we should be respectful to her when all she did was insult the audience the entire time.
Oh, no.
Personal attacks on the audience, that is not okay.
That didn't start until after her speech was interrupted.
Well, no, she was bashing Democrats and liberals, how we were foolish,
I mean, I didn't go to that lady last night. I didn't go to her, did you?
Yeah.
Do you mean Cindy Sheehan?
Yeah, I did not.
The woman whose son died in Iraq?
Yes, I did not attend that.
Why?
I mean, it's her view of pulling out of Iraq immediately is not something that I believe is intelligent, and it's not something that I believe would, in the long run, help America.
After roughly 15 minutes of a disjointed talk, Coulter told her audience she would not try to continue, The heckling had been loud, and some students had played a trick on Coulter where they overdubbed a portion of a tape from the music from South Park with her name in it. While some press reports said Coulter left the stage after trying to talk for 15 minutes, Ann Coulter actually stayed to take questions, and a long line of students asked questions, which she again followed with her usual harsh commentary, including very cutting remarks about the students at times. On the following day, the local paper, the Willimantic Chronicle, ran two headlines, Ann Coulter disappoints and students feel let down. One reporter said Ann Coulter walked off the stage, cutting short her appearance. The other reporter said she merely cut back her talk by a half hour. The Daily Campus chat page came to reflect a troubling lack of substance in the debates about the issues. Some liked Ann Coulter, some feared her, some worried about the impact of her form of speech, but there was little or no discussion about the Iraq War itself, the abortion issue, or other hot-button issues on campus. Locally, a December 12th letter by someone calling herself Paleo Girl on the Daily Campus chat page turned up on the Chronicle's editorial page December 14th under a different name, Kelly Walsh, a secretary of the Republican Student Committee at Sacred Heart University in Connecticut. The truth is simple, Walsh wrote. Republicans are classy and liberals are trashy. A Chronicle editorial slammed the students for interfering with Ann Coulter's right to free speech and said, quote, they left a black mark on the name of their school and besmirched one of the freedoms they claim to hold so dear. The media watch group Media Matters, online at mediamatters.org, tracks the kinds of things Ann Coulter says. They've called on CNN to fire Ann Coulter.
Ann, I just want to give you a first whack at this. Eason Jordan, top news executive at CNN, says at a big conference in Davos that the U.S. military is deliberately targeting and assassinating American journalists. Huh? He still has a job? Huh? You got a take on that?
Wouldn't that it were so.
What were so?
That the American military were targeting journalists.
Oh, no. Don't go there.
You can review what Ann Coulter, Bill O'Reilly, and others have said on the website of MediaMatters.org. The Media Watch group SourceWatch points out on their educational website that one definition of propaganda is the willingness of the propagandist to change people's understanding through deception and confusion rather than persuasion or understanding. If nothing else, Ann Coulter's visit to UConn may serve as a useful study of campus debate. We will discuss this issue again next week with part two of my interview with Chip Berlay of Political Research Associates. Political Research Associates, PRA, is an independent nonprofit research center that studies anti-democratic, authoritarian, and racist right-wing movements or trends in America. You can write to them at pra@publiceye.org for their report on campus debate. The report is free to the first 50 callers who mention WHUS in their letters. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. TalkNation.org for transcripts and further discussion. WHUS.org to listen live Wednesdays at 5 p.m. If you'd like to comment on this broadcast, write to me, Dori Smith, at theshockvote@yahoo.com.